right here on KBOO.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Yellow Pages, providing a resource guide of openly gay-friendly businesses, organizations, and services since 1996. New smartphone app available for all iPhones and Droids. For more information, you can visit pdxgyp.com. This KBOO program is...
You're listening to 90.7 FM KBOO Out Loud Radio. I'm Natalie Marie, and this KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Radio Cab Turkey Project, a hunger relief program providing complete Christmas dinners to families struggling with food insecurity, seniors, the infirm, and those without transportation. Information on how to make donations at radiocabfoundation.org. Once again, I'm Natalie Marie. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Out Loud. Again, joining me in the studio today is Dexter Flowers, the wonderful Dexter. Say hi, Dexter.
Hi.
Back again for some to make some more wonderful queer radio tonight. We've got a great show lined up. We're going to hear from some new radio makers in Portland. You've been teased before, but now we'll get the full story. Speaking with Thomas from Wild Planet Radio. We'll also be interviewing Sini Anderson, who has done a documentary film based on the work and life of Kathleen Hanna, singer for Bikini Kill. But first, some announcements. For all you nightlife creatures out there, we've got a couple of dance parties coming up. I've Got a Hotel in My Soul will be happening at Holocene on December 12th, Thursday, 9 p.m. to 2 a.m. Of course, get out there and get dancing. Holocene, everybody loves. Bump and Grind. Queer 90s Night will be the following night, December 13th, Friday, from 9:45 to 2 a.m. at Foggy Notion. Also, this month, December 14th, once again the following night, is My Bloody Valentine at Mississippi Studios, which, if you've ever been to, is quite an experience to see queer folks of all varieties dressed up in their bloodiest bloody Valentine. Polari, Portland's third Thursday gay social, will be happening December 19th from 9 to 10 p.m. at The Vault. There will be DJs Little Bear and Hold My Hand performing. December 20th at 9 p.m., we've got Ruthless happening at the Local Lounge with local DJs, and Gaycation December 21st at Holocene. So lots of dancing going on for the month of December. It's a dancing month. Quick shout out to one of our fiscal sponsors, PDX GYP, the Gay Yellow Pages, is in the process of gearing up for the 2014 edition of the Gay Yellow Pages, and we'll be looking to hire a new sales rep and marketers soon. For information on how to apply, contact Sarah at sales@pdxgyp.com. So any of you folks out there interested in getting involved, working within the gay community, and helping putting together that great tome of resources for the gay community. Great way to get involved and make some money. Also, today marks the second annual Giving Tuesday. Now, what is Giving Tuesday, you might ask? Giving Tuesday is a movement to create a national day of giving to kick off the giving season, added to the calendar on the Tuesday following Thanksgiving, Black Friday, and Cyber Monday. The second annual Giving Tuesday is on December 3rd, 2013. Oh, that was last week then. Oh, but there's still, I guess it's going on for the whole week. In the same way that retail stores take part in Black Friday, we want to give community a chance to come together for Giving Tuesday. Also, it's a campaign to create a national day of giving at the start of the annual holiday season, celebrates and encourages charitable activities to support nonprofit organizations. The families and individuals are encouraged for the month of December to be generous in whatever ways matter to them, whether that means volunteering at a local charity or donating to a favorite cause. And we're actually going to hear from a few organizations tonight about how you can get involved and donate to a local cause. But for now, let's get started. We're going to be talking to Thomas from Wild Planet right after this update from Wild Planet. Radio
contact. Wild Planet Radio is an online radio station streaming at wildplanetradio.com. We're proud to announce our partnership with Portland's Q Center. This partnership with Q Center will strengthen our online broadcast platform, enabling us both to better serve Portland's diverse LGBTQ community. In even more exciting news, we have officially filed with the FCC for an FM broadcast license and are aiming for June 2014, LGBT Pride Month, for launch of Portland's first full-time community-owned and operated LGBTQ radio station. Now, a little taste of what's coming. First, a track from openly gay singer-songwriter and LGBT activist Logan Lynn. This track is Hologram.
Logan Lynn with Hologram. Wild Planet Radio will feature queer music, talk, comedy, poetry, community affairs, you name it. We welcome everyone in the community to become involved. Introducing a brand new LGBTQ community radio station.
Wild Planet Radio, Portland.
There you have it, folks. Wild Planet Radio, new to Portland. LGBTQ radio right here in your hometown, Portland, Oregon. And now we have Thomas.
Hooray, hooray, hooray. Hello to everyone.
Hello, Thomas. Welcome to the show.
I'm so happy to be here. I've been on once before, and it's so great to be back and experience it again.
You were. You gave us a little teaser last time, I think, some of the updates of what's going on, what's kind of happening. Well, we're here to delve into it this time and like really see what's going on. What are you doing over there as part of the duo, I guess, that is the masterminds of Wild Planet. Right?
Well, I can tell you, things have been moving so quickly for us. It's amazing. Everyone has been reaching out a helping hand. They've been supportive. Partnering up with the Q Center was probably the best decision we've ever made as far as the future of our radio. They've been giving us guidance. They've been giving us support. We have been moving forward in every avenue. You know, we've been developing shows. We have been inviting community members in to record content. We have been reaching our hands out to build a future with the community. And on top of that, we've applied for our low power FM license. So we're securing our future to be taking over the airwaves here very soon.
Awesome. Very shortly, you'll be dominating the airwaves of Portland.
We'll definitely be contributing, and we're opening up a platform for the community to feel safe. So I'm very excited about that.
Wonderful, wonderful. And you're actually here today to talk to us about an upcoming event that people can...
I am. We have finally got everything together so we can feel confident to announce our startup party. Okay. It's going to be December 13th at the Q Center. That's 4115 North Mississippi Avenue. The party's going to start off at 5:30. We've got some music entertainment. We're going to have food. We've put together an amazing presentation to give everyone out there a future in the radio with us and let you guys know how to be a part of it, what we're doing, how to get involved, and really get to know Wild Planet Radio.
Great. December 13th, that's Friday, right?
Friday the 13th. We're turning it into a lucky day.
That sounds lucky.
It does. So let's get into this a little bit. Tell me about Wild Planet Radio. Where did this come from? Where did the idea for Wild Planet come from?
So honestly, Wild Planet Radio has been in existence for over 10 years. It has been something that my partner Bobby started a long time ago. He's been in radio and he does amazing work with audio production. He's done voiceover talent, all sorts of support in every avenue you can imagine that has to do with radio and radio service. And when we partnered up together, we were thinking, what can we do to make a change in the world? And we first started off by doing some just events. We would show up and we called it Changes for Charity. So we would try to plan our best and we would pick something that needed some help and we would throw a little party and have DJing and haircuts and cupcakes and art, and we would do our best and we would get people to give and we would give it away. And we were thinking the more and more, you know, what could we do on a bigger scale? And, you know, Bobby being a part of the radio world, he was enlightened to find out that the FCC had opened up this small filing window for different community partners to have the chance to be on radio. And so I encouraged him to push forward. And so in an amazing time frame, in my mind, we put this together and we've promoted it and we've showed up and we've done every step that needs to happen, and it's going to happen. So it's great.
It seems like things are moving really quick.
Extremely rapid, but that's good. I mean, I think all good things. The funniest thing I can tell you is when we started mentioning this to our friends that, you know, we were going forward on having, you know, an LGBTQ radio station, and it was going to be one of the first 24-hour stations in the United States, they all were amazed. They couldn't believe that that wasn't already out there, you know. And so, of course, feeling a little self-conscious, we went back and, oh my gosh, did we check every resource? You know, are we going to be the first? And honestly, yes. I mean, there are programming out there, there are time slots out there, but there is not one station that is committed fully 24 hours to LGBTQ, and that is what we're going for. So wish us good luck, and yeah, it's all happening.
For sure. That's amazing. Now, as part of bringing this all together, like you said, it's moved rather quickly and rapidly. Tell me, what's it been like for you, your experience in getting involved? Because correct me if I'm wrong, but your background is not necessarily...
No. My background is a superstar hairstylist. So, I mean, I definitely have the ability to talk, to maintain, to listen, and to understand, but radio has never been a world that I knew much about. I mean, I've always enjoyed radio, and I've always looked, you know, forward to all the different radio shows and all the great stations out there, but I didn't ever imagine a huge future for myself in it. But I do have a lot of confidence, and I do have an ability to allow people to feel comfortable in saying yes if it's a good idea. So Bobby being more of a background producer and really working on the audio side and having the whole system set, you know, teaming up together, it's been amazing. And, you know, to answer your question about what I personally have learned is everything. I mean, really, I've learned that you can make a difference. And just by listening to people and creating a platform for people to feel safe and for people to be encouraged and for people to move forward, you receive the most special gifts. I mean, we have asked friends that have never even been on a microphone before to come in and just give us some ideas. And it's amazing to watch them develop, you know, each week on content and on shows and on their passion and their ambition. And I really do feel that this radio project will make a great change.
It certainly sounds like it's got the potential for that. It's just really, it's a great story. And, you know, always been a theme with a lot of the stuff that we produce, with Dexter, you know, getting involved with radio and are starting where you're at. You know, you get a good idea and you want to do something, you want to make a change, you get out there and do it. You know, have you felt like that has sort of been part of how this has evolved?
I can tell you, yes, we refuse to have any roadblocks. We wouldn't even take a speed bump. We, every single time that it seemed like maybe it wasn't going to be our avenue, we just kept trucking and the right people kept falling in. And we've definitely exposed ourselves to as many of the different community members as we can. We've teamed up with artists. We've had different types of directors come in. We've had restaurant owners, people, anyone that we could talk to so we could see how we could really move this thing forward. And without understanding the full structure of nonprofit status, I mean, we definitely get the flow of radio and how to entertain, but partnering up at the Q Center, they have been leaders. I mean, they really have taken their time. They have went out of their way to answer questions. They've made us feel safe that we can make this project happen. So just the fact that they pioneered first to be able to provide these for us, it's amazing.
That is wonderful. And speaking to partners and others that have been involved, what have you noticed in the community? Who is currently, you know, you're working with as far as supporting Wild Planet, helping this all come together, really?
I surely can. So we needed to take this big project kind of in phases, because what we wanted to do is, besides just being a radio station, we wanted to develop training for the community.
Right.
So it was very important for us to have a system that people could feel like they all are part of the radio. You know, obviously we can't be showcasing everyone at the same time and we can't be training everyone at the same time. So we asked for just a specific few to kind of jump on board, some that have had radio history, some that have community presence, and some that just have an awesome interest. So we've got our kind of phase one staff together, and that's going to be who we're introducing at our party December 13th from 5:30 to 8 at Q Center. Some of the people we've gotten involved so far, let's just see here. Just off the top of my head, well, of course, you have my partner and I, Bobby and I, that will be being a part of every show in the beginning, just to show that in the beginning, we made our own little podcast sample. We called it PBR, Pookie's Bubbles Radio, that was just silly. And we wanted to give a happy headline every single time. We wanted to tell people what was going on in Portland that they could do without a lot of money. And we wanted to remind people what's happening in the Q News. So we kind of set the platform saying, hey, this is how we brainstorm some ideas to do it. What would you add? So since we've been out there fishing, we are now welcoming Bolivia Carmichaels, the show host down at CC Slaughter's, which has now teamed up with also Felicity Carmichaels, which is a show host at Darcel's. They've got together, they're going to be doing a type of variety show that's going to cover a lot of great things for us. And both of those girls are amazing on a microphone and they're amazing presenters. So they've come up together to provide the show. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We really wanted to think about how we were going to include our community and how we were going to conclude restaurants and retail people and, you know, people that out there that might not know or that might not be so cozy. So we thought, let's start with food. So we've got a couple of great friends, one that has been educated, very well trained, can tell you anything you need to know about food. Another that's been standing with family in the kitchen, having a very creative way. If you run out of this, you can kind of this. Talking with our mouths full will be a show. And then another community leader. We were lucky enough. We live in an arts community, and we provided space for a community group that wanted to do some immigration reform. And we had a lot of volunteers show up for that. And we had a lot of follow-up from those people because they're very actively involved. And our great friend Tony, he's moved here from the East Coast. He's retired, and he has made a life for himself here. He is going to be doing a variety show that has a little bit to do with politics, but a lot to do with helping each other and believing in yourself. And he's titled it Eclectia. So to start, those are some resources that we feel comfortably we can add on to without making it too confusing. Of course, we want to be showcasing everyone's music. We want to be announcing community events. We want to be reminding people where they can go to donate, where they can go to volunteer. And we feel that by doing it through these phases, we're really going to pull out of the woodwork one, people that have already been doing this in the community like yourselves that like to add to our programming, or two, maybe we can just inspire someone else that never really thought they had a radio, a future in radio, but because we have such a great training program and such a great supportive structure, they're going to feel like a superstar.
Wonderful. So following this starting up party on Friday, how are people going to be able to get involved? How are they going to interact? What does that look like?
At the starting party, yeah. Of course, I'm a little tricky in making people show up and making people participate. I've been invited and I've been to so many different things that I kind of have a little system to myself. So at our starting party, we are giving the community the first chance to come in and sign up to meet and greet Wild Planet Radio with a follow-up on Sunday from 12 to 5. So if you come to my startup party and mingle and meet us, I'll sign you up where you can come and allow me to write down your information so I can tell other people how to get a hold of you, and we can talk about what type of future you'd like to have with Wild Planet Radio. Moving forward, just as far...
Oh, just so exciting.
Oh, I was like, did I miss something? I saw all these...
You're just making me
smile. I saw all these wonderful actions.
Yeah.
We definitely have some timelines involved. We really want to take this seriously as far as being able to be a leader in our community and be able to offer every... different part of it that maybe we haven't thought of. So like I said, starting simple and being able to branch off, eventually we'll move into being able to be on the FM signal. We've talked to some leaders in Pride. They've given us a great support in saying, you know, really look forward to this year. Come join our board meetings. Think about how we can work together. Showcase yourselves. We've decided that even if we get the license a little bit before then, we're going to hope to plan our launch during that time so people can really get the word out. Mm-hmm. And then after that time, I'm going to start bringing in some different types of sponsorships, some memberships, some different types of training, and then I would say, yeah, every month, every week, every year, look forward to Wild Planet Radio growing and offering more to our community.
Well, we certainly will hear it out loud, and we'll be maintaining this relationship of community building that we're doing right now.
I would like to once again, I thanked Carla last time, but I really do see you as an inspiration for us too. I mean, I think we have a lot to learn from you all that have chosen to take yourself out of all of the community and still showcase yourself as much as you can and be supportive to our people. So thank you for your program.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the wonderful ideas.
I was curious, how far is the signal going to reach? Are people in like St. Helens and Bend?
Lucky for us, the world of radio has actually been supported through the internet. So, I mean, for the last year and a half, we've got listeners in Spain. We've got listeners in Portugal. We've been picked up by iTunes. So worldwide, as far as the FM licensing, that's a little bit different. It has a 3 to 5 mile radius, but they're designed for dense populations. So from my best understanding, we have teamed up with some amazing engineers that have years of resources and knowledge, and they found the perfect tower spot for us. So ideally, we're going to be able to cover all of Portland Metro, which would include 250,000 people.
Wow.
Awesome.
Isn't that great?
That is great.
Yes.
There you have it. There you have it, folks. Portland's new radio station dedicated completely to the LGBTQ community. And Wild Planet, Thomas, I want to thank you for coming on and breaking it down for us and getting everybody excited about this party. Tell us one more time.
One more time, so you don't forget my startup party and announcement, and especially if you want to get involved with Wild Planet Radio, you need to be there so you get this information, you get a chance to meet us. It is going to be Friday the 13th, 5:30 to 8, food, music, entertainment, and tons of information. Q Center, 4115 North Mississippi Avenue, 5:30 to 8, December 13th.
There you have it, folks. Don't miss it. Thank you, Thomas. Thanks again.
No problem. Thanks for having me, you guys.
Yeah. Can't wait. Cannot wait, Dexter, to see this happening and to see this evolve. Moving, transitioning into the next sort of phase of what we're talking about, and making radio. You've done another great thing, of course, and getting a hold of Cini Anderson.
Cini Anderson.
Your guest from the podcast that we had initially done or featured on the show. And you're actually going to be talking with Cini again.
I am. She is an amazing artist, filmmaker. She does multimedia. She's an amazing writer. Her and Michelle T started Sister Spit, which was a really awesome spoken word traveling roadshow in the 90s that I was lucky enough to see. And we've been friends over the years. And she made this amazing movie all about Kathleen Hanna's life.
Awesome. And so we're going to be hearing a track by Kathleen Hanna, one of her tracks from, which band was this one? Le Tigre. I think we're going to be listening to track, real quick. What was the title of this one?
The title.
We had it here.
Yeah. Track four.
It would be track four.
That would be track four. It's a B-side from the Hot Topic single. So it's a little remix that that I like a lot.
So we're going to listen to this track, and then we're going to come back and have a little surprise that kind of tie in to what we were talking about last time with you, Dexter. But first, let's listen to this this song by Kathleen Hanna, and we'll be talking with Senior when we come back.
Well, what is it that younger women are pushing up against? They would seem to have a list of options to choose from, a set of ways to construct their own identity that takes in everything. It's just a vast smorgasbord. The options are not as narrow as they might have been 30 years ago. Where does the problem lie now?
Regimented.
So that was Kathleen Hanna. The first song you heard was from her band La Tigre. The song They Want Us to Make a Symphony. And the second song was Bikini Kill, right?
Yeah, Reject All American.
Reject All American. So we had two songs from Kathleen Hanna. And now we're going to be actually talking to Cindy Anderson.
Cindy Anderson. Cindy has made an amazing movie about Kathleen Hanna, who is the lead singer of the punk band Bikini Kill and dance punk trio La Tigre. She rose to national attention as the reluctant but ever shy voice of the Riot Girl movement. She became one of the most famously outspoken feminist icons, a cultural lightning rod. Her critics wish that she would just be quiet, and her fans hope that she would never would. So in 2005, when Hanna stopped shouting, many wondered why. Through 20 years of archival footage and intimate interviews with Hanna, the punk singer takes viewers on a fascinating tour of contemporary music and offers a never-before-seen view of this fearless leader. Entertainment Weekly calls this movie beautiful and rousing, a concise look at Hanna as a larger-than-life force and her more up-close human travails, Los Angeles Times. The director of this movie is my awesome friend, Cindy Anderson, who is an amazing multimedia artist, has one of my favorite writers over the years, and is just like a total powerhouse. And this is her first full-length film. So let's welcome Cindy Anderson.
She should be on the phone. Are you there, Cindy?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi. Such a nice intro, Dexter.
Awesome. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good.
I'm so happy to hear your voice on the radio.
Yeah, I'm so happy to hear your voice on the radio. Awesome. And how is LA treating you?
Good. You know, I've been here like a full day. A full day. And I've already been stuck in a lot of traffic. And there's lots of citrus trees around. And I'm happy to be here.
Oh, that sounds lovely. Wonderful. Well, I just got the pleasure of seeing your movie last night, finally, and it was breathtaking.
Well, I'm so glad you went to go see it, Dexter. Thank you.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about what your documentary is about for people that might not know about it.
Yeah, sure. You did a pretty good job introing it and then reading the little blurb about the film. But Kathleen is... she's this amazing feminist artist and probably one of the most well-known feminist artists of my generation and of third wave feminism. And she's always been like a really prolific artist and activist and a really hard worker. And I think she's inspired tons and tons of people. And she actually came to me a few years ago to ask me if I was interested in working on a La Tigre doc. There was one put out called Who Took the Bump, which is it's a totally awesome, fun movie, and you guys should check it out. But it kind of concentrated more on their tour, on the La Tigre tour, on their last tour. So she asked me if I was interested in working on that, and it just occurred to me in that moment that Kathleen had never really told her story in depth. And at that point, I think she had been retired from music for about 5 or 6 years and happened to be really sick, and we didn't know what she was sick with. It was pretty scary. And I just thought it would be a really excellent time for her to tell her story. So I took a pass on the invitation to work on the La Tigre doc and asked her if she'd be willing to tell her story. So that's kind of how it came about. And so the film takes a look at her, like the last 20 years of her career, and talks about some things that she's never really been too public about and has a lot more of a personal side to it.
Awesome. When I left the theater, I felt really inspired to create and to make art. I feel like that's something that's really amazing about this film is that it really promotes that feeling in you, for me at least. When I left the theater, I was just like felt rearing and ready to go and do something new. Have you gotten that response a lot so far?
Yeah, I have. And that's the best case scenario, right? I mean, that is a feeling that a lot of people get when they are introduced to Kathleen and her work. So if people are getting that feeling after seeing the documentary, like really that's the best thing I could possibly hear, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, people are really pumped up when they leave the theater. And you know, there's this thing that happens with Kathleen, and I think that, you know, we were able to capture it in the film, and it was really important that we captured this aspect of Kathleen's personality, which is she'll push through to try to get to the thing that she's unresolved about, to try to get to the truth of it. And I think that when we see anybody doing that, it can be a really motivating and inspiring thing to witness. And, you know, to find what it is, to find what it is that you feel like your voice is needed for in any given moment. And so with Kathleen, in this film, I feel like we were able to show that a little bit of her, like her tendency to push, to try to tell the truth, about her own life and her own experience. And so, yeah, I think that people really respond to that.
Yeah.
I feel lucky that people are having that feeling and they need to see it.
It's awesome. I really appreciated in the movie just showing a little history on different waves of feminism and what made kind of, you know, what's considered the third wave unique. And I've read a couple in different interviews with Kathleen Hanna where she has been really like excited about younger feminist generations that were critiquing Riot Girl, that were actually kind of, you know, in a loving way, I think it was one of the quotes I saw, but were critiquing it and trying to, you know, figure out some fresh new viewpoints. And I'm just curious, does your documentary kind of intend to ask everybody what's next?
That's a good question. I don't know that the documentary that I was specifically trying to ask the viewer what is next, but I think that, I mean, yeah, maybe not what's next for feminism, but what's next interpersonally for anybody. And I mean, the thing that also that, you know, a big part of third wave feminism and kind of a lot of the artists that I knew that were making work at the time of the beginning of third wave feminism in the 90s, like one of the slogans is the personal is political, right?
Yes.
And so that's always been super inspiring to me. And, you know, maybe that ties into what I was just saying before is like, if we are showing Kathleen kind of come to terms with her own personal truth, and that was really, really, really important to me, that we showed Kathleen in a light that was more realistic, that wasn't just like showing Kathleen Hanna having it all figured out. You know, I mean, part of what I liked about at least the last quarter of the film, and so we got to see her unresolved about a few things. And I think that that's really inspiring. And that does kind of like, you know, provoke the question of what's next. You know, it's like, okay, if here's this like super Shiro feminist chick, right? And she doesn't have it all figured out and she's still making really amazing work, then I can have it not figured out also and make work. Does that make sense?
Exactly. I think that was so beautifully said. And I remember actually talking with you, Cindy, about starting where you're at. And that was like a big theme last time I talked to you. And and just also in the beginning when Bikini Kills first started, and, you know, it wasn't about like, you know, necessarily like knowing how to do everything perfectly. It was just like having this such an important message and allowing, you know, not letting anything stop you from being heard. Is that something that...
Right, exactly. And that's so... that's so much like with what we've been talking about, you know, recently, is just the whole getting involved and getting active. Cindy, I wanted to ask... this is Natalie, by the way.
Hi, Natalie.
Hi. I just wanted to ask, you know, with regards to making this film, you know, and how did it come about that for you, that you decided that you wanted to do this? And I guess I'm interested in the process of going from I'm going to make a film to what we have now, which, by the way, we have got a couple of tickets we're going to be giving away too at the end of this.
Yes.
We're going to try something novel, I think, and give them away to the first caller to call in. But before we do that, to speak to it, how did this, I guess, how did it evolve for you, Sini, to go from that?
Sure. Well, I think that along the lines of what we were just talking about, Dexter, just to finish up that point, I think that there is this misconception out there that I think is really, really damaging to a lot of creative people, which is you have to have it all figured out and you really have to know what the hell you're doing if you're going to do something, if you're going to, like, you know, put yourself out there, say that you're doing it, try to create the project, finish it up and put it out there. And I think that that is, it stops people from making, just even making a start with some of the creative projects that they want to do. And then Natalie, kind of tying into what you were just asking about the process, I think that the answer to that question is Kathleen and I decided, it was kind of a double dare. I said, I think you should tell your story. She said, I think you should make the film. Once we said that to each other, then I feel really, really lucky that I've kind of always had this idea, like, once you've made the decision to do it and then you say it out loud, then you just start taking the actions. And I think that if I would have thought of the entire scope of the whole thing and, like, how am I going to get all the funding for this and how is this part going to work out and then what's going to happen when I get to this juncture, it would have just probably stunted me from starting it or just stopped me from starting it. And the kind of the community that I've been involved with most of my adult life has more to do with what is the thing that you want to do, gather the people around you that you think can best help you to create that, and just start making it, you know? And that's what we did with The Punk Singer. And yeah, 3.5 years later, it's playing in a bunch of theaters and, like, over 50 cities across the country. Like, it's
amazing.
I feel really, really, really lucky about that. But it just started with the conversation, you know?
Yeah. It's amazing. And definitely, you know, great advice, Sini. You know, I'm going to dare one of our listeners, maybe somebody who's never heard of Bikini Kill or Kathleen Hanna, who's maybe not ever been interested in punk music, or maybe even somebody who's not ever been that informed on, you know, feminism, third wave feminism. I want to dare somebody out there to call in and to be the first caller and to grab these tickets up before we finish our interview. Call in and leave their email, and we're going to hook them up with a pair to go check this film out. Something maybe they're thinking right now, you know, I don't know, it's kind of something maybe I'm not interested. I want somebody out there to take that chance, you know, and just maybe they've had their own insecurities or their own stumbling blocks or things that have prevented them from just going out there and doing it, you know, doing what they want to do. I want them to take a chance right now and call the studio line at 503-231-8187. Again, 503-231-8187. And we're going to give you some tickets just to go check out this film, Sini. And really, that is just, it's great advice. You know, I can't think of any, you know, anything better to do than surround yourself, you know, first off with folks that are, you know, kind of doing that. And then don't kill yourself doing it, you know, don't stop it for yourself.
Yeah. I think just, you know, I wanted to tell you, Sini, that you got a lot of applause last night, like people clapping after the movie ended. I actually...
That's always so powerful, like in a movie theater.
Yeah. And I feel like that... Yeah. And I, you know, I'm curious what some of your favorite parts of the movie are.
Oh, that's a good question. It always makes me really happy to hear that response to the film. Some of my favorite parts of the film... I would, you know, it's interesting because I'm going to say some of the, well, for those listeners that haven't heard or seen the film, which I'm sure is most of your listeners, it's this, you know, it's the story of Kathleen Hanna. There's a lot of music in it, some of it really loud and really fast. And there's this kind of juxtaposition in the film of where there are some really quiet moments. And I have to say, those are my favorite moments in the film. I love it when you're watching a documentary and the subject is is coming, is actually having a thought process about some of the questions that they're answering or the topics that they're speaking on. So rather than like cutting the camera, if Kathleen didn't have an answer right away, and you know, a good example of that was when Kathleen was talking about why she stopped playing music. And it was an interview in front of the fireplace. And she got super quiet and she kind of came to terms with what the answer to that question was as we were filming it. And so I think it was the first time in the film where we had like 20 seconds of silence. And she was just sitting there thinking about it. I have to say, I think that that's actually my favorite moment in the film. And it's not because she's not saying something. It's because we're watching this person kind of really search for the for an answer that's completely honest. And she doesn't have one right away, you know? And I think that that's so powerful. And I think that there's something really, really powerful about the vulnerability of it. And, you know, I mean, there's a couple of different ways to view vulnerability. Sometimes it can make people extremely uncomfortable. And I think that that happens to be when we feel like we have to take care of somebody. But if we don't feel like we have to take care of somebody and we're watching them and we get to see them in a vulnerable moment, it can just be so powerful. And yeah, I just felt like that was really powerful. And I also have to say the ending of the film, mm-hmm. where again, she's kind of coming, she's coming to conclusions as she's talking about it. And the question that I ask her at the end of the film is like, so what is the story of your life? And she just pretty much says, I have no idea what the story of my life is. And then she goes to kind of try to figure out and tell us what it is. And yeah, I thought it was really powerful. So I would have to see those two moments. And when she's talking about her Valley Girl accent, you know.
Yeah. No, I really love the ending too. It gave me so many goosebumps.
Yeah,
there's so many really beautiful shots in the movie that were really quiet. I noticed that a lot, and I feel like, I agree. I thought that it was really awesome that the movie was showing her as a real person. And it sounds like, you know, like that was a really important thing about the film for a lot of people that I've talked to as well.
You know, in speaking, I just have to say, just to throw it out there, talking about the film being beautiful, a local feminist queer cinematographer from Portland was one of the DPs on the project, and that's Moira Morrell. So that's a pretty cool fact that Moira was one of the DPs, and she's so talented, and I just wanted to say that since we were on Portland radio.
Yay. Definitely. Shout out to the locals.
It's really true. So for people that have never heard of Kathleen Hanna before, because I was really lucky to learn about her. I was on a yellow school bus on the way to go to high school, and a girl who was sitting with headphones put her headphones on me and was like, listen to my favorite band.
No way.
Totally. Well, I have two questions for you, totally separate questions. But one is, you know, what was your first time you ever, witnessed Bikini Kill or heard them? But another question I had for you was, why this is an important film for maybe someone who wasn't tapped into that? You know, who didn't get to know about Bikini Kill and grow up with that?
Yeah, sure. Well, I think the answer to the question of why would it be important for somebody who wasn't exposed, I just think it's a really important part of popular culture that that a lot of people don't know about. Like, I see the influence of third wave feminism and bands like Bikini Kill, and I see that influence. Like, kind of, I see evidence of that all over the place. And to kind of know what the origins of that are, I mean, even, like, down to fashion, you know? So there's, like, this whole thing about, like, the music and the sound of that type of music, like, but then there was the whole fashion that went along with it, this whole type of, like, ways of making art and sharing art with each other. I find it to be really super fascinating. And there's been, I've been at a bunch of screenings where people have come up to me after the screenings at film festivals and at openings over the last month, and they've been like, I missed that whole part of the 90s. And these are people that are, you know, 40 years old and older, and they're just like, I just missed the whole thing. I don't know what I was doing during that time. But they, I was really happy to know that they were stoked about it. It wasn't like they had to know who Kathleen was or who Bikini Kill was or anything about third wave feminism in order to like get into the film, that they felt like super stoked about learning about that. So I think that for any queer or for any feminist, that this was a really important time period in popular culture. I mean, I kind of see it as, you know, the whole Riot Girl thing that was happening in the early 90s, I wasn't so much a part of, but there was something that was happening right alongside of it, that which was called queercore, which was the queer punk music scene. And even though I wasn't involved with Riot Girl, what I knew of Riot Girl and of queercore were that they were these two movements that were running alongside of each other, but they weren't at all competitive. Like, they were really mutually supportive of each other. And I think that that really kind of changed feminist politics. It changed queer politics. And it started to change our culture in a way that we hadn't seen before. And that was kind of saying, like, oh, you're queer, kind of morphing into alternative. There was just a mix that was starting to happen at that time period that we hadn't seen, I think, in gay or queer culture before that. So that's what I would say about that. Yeah. And then as far as how I was introduced, the first time I was introduced, it's funny. I'm from Chicago, and I was first introduced to Bikini Kill. I happened to be just, in, you know, whatever, I'll just tell you the truth about it. I was a totally drunk, kind of like young 20-something person stumbling the streets of Chicago, and I stumbled into a Bikini Kill show because I saw all these chicks standing outside this punk club, and I was just like, what the hell is going on here, you know? And I just like kind of pushed my way in, and Bikini Kill was on stage, and I my jaw was just dropped to the ground. I had never seen a crowd like that before. I had never seen any band like that before. Like, I had been to plenty of punk shows, but they were always dude punk shows. You know, it was like Naked Reagan and like completely hardcore, heterosexual, like scary ass punk shows, you know?
A lot of that.
Yeah. And so that's what I had been exposed to as far as punk shows were concerned. I had never seen so many women in one place. And I remember just being really, really taken by Kathleen. And then that was it. Like, I walked out of that show, and I didn't hear another peep about Kathleen or Bikini Kill for, like, another 6 years after that. It wasn't like I went and sought them out then. I was just like, oh, note to self, interesting, you know? And then, yeah, and then, like, 10 years later, you know, I was becoming friends with this person, and it was just, you know... It was funny when I was telling, like, the first time I saw you, you were like playing at this show. And yeah, that was kind of my introduction to Bikini Kill. It wasn't until I moved to San Francisco and a lot of years later that I was reintroduced to her work.
That's just amazing how, you know, how the paths have crossed, you know, and how they just kind of came back and came full circle. It's really a lot of truth, you know, and what you said, you know, and I experienced a lot of it growing up in punk music and punk politics, and kind of seeing that change and seeing these two subcultures within a subculture, you know, evolving side by side to really change, you know, change what was punk, which is, you know, which was about change and about, you know, revolutions anyway, you know, and traditionally, you know, what had become a traditionally, you know, male dominated, you know, masculine heteronormative subculture, you know, was becoming something that wasn't you know, so different or so, you know, so alternative or anything like that. But to see these and be part of those movements, it's just, there's a lot of truth into what you said. And it's just really amazing. I'm glad that you were able to capture, you know, a piece
of
that.
There's a filmmaker right now who's making a documentary about queercore, and I cannot wait to see that. It's the filmmaker's name is Yoni Lester. He did the William Burroughs documentary, Man Within. And he's working on finishing up a queercore documentary right now, which I cannot wait to see. And I think Kathleen is also interviewed in that.
Awesome. We can't wait for that. One thing I wanted to mention to folks so they know, it's playing through the 19th, correct? Is this
the December 15th?
December 15th. Mm-hmm. Okay, at the Hollywood. Folks, just so they know, so they can get down there. And somebody did call in and win these tickets, by the way. Heather called in.
Oh, yay!
And so Heather will be going to the show on
any day and anytime she wants. Go ahead and check on Hollywood Theater's website for their different times, and you will be on the guest list, and will be plus one, so you'll be able to, redeem your tickets just right up front, and that's really exciting that
Bring
you won those. Congratulations.
Heather will be on the guest list. Hey, and what's the title again?
The Punk Singer.
The Punk Singer.
The Kathleen Hanna documentary, and it's playing a couple different show times a day, and on the weekend, I think even potentially three times a day.
Cool. And then, yeah,
can I just say I love the Hollywood Theater, too? That place is so great.
It is such a beautiful theater. I felt so fancy when I was there.
I was there for the opening night on Friday night, and I was so stoked that it was playing at such a cool theater. And that marquee is totally out of hand. The thing is beautiful.
Oh, my gosh. It's, like, shiny. It really feels like you're in Hollywood, like, in the olden days, but I never got to be part of. Like, Jimmy Stewart is going to come and take your arm.
That would be something.
Yeah. I'm actually going back to see the Punk Singer again at least once or twice this week. I'm going again on Thursday. I'm very excited about that.
We'll get together.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. As soon as it ended, I considered sitting and watching it a second time.
That good.
Back on Thursday. It's okay. I could leave.
I know. Yeah. Totally. I'll just like set up camp there and not go anywhere. Cindy, tell me, do you have new projects that you're going to be working on now that the Punk Singer is out and you're promoting it? And I'm sure really busy with that. But what's next for you, Cindy?
Yeah. Well, there's a local band local Portland band who just finished a music video for it that Dexter helped out on. And that band is Lovers. So I just finished a video. It's still being edited. And the song is Girl on the Grass off of the new album. I think the name of their album is A Friend in the World. So that was fun. And then I just started production about 6-7 weeks ago on a documentary about late-stage Lyme disease. And it's profiling 10 to 12 feminist artists with late-stage Lyme disease. Super, super important documentary to make, I think. I know so many people that are suffering from this disease, Kathleen just being one of them. But from the time I started filming The Punk Singer to the time we came out with the film, between Kathleen and myself, and I also have late-stage Lyme disease, we knew of between 17 and 21 feminist artists with late-stage Lyme. Wow. So, it's an epidemic. People are getting really sick. They're not able to make their work. They're not able to sustain their lives. And it's a really political disease as well because the insurance companies don't want to pay for the treatments. So I'm doing that, and I'm excited about that. I'm making that with a friend of mine, Kyoko. And then I'm working on a narrative feature, and I'm really excited about that. And that's based off of a documentary.
Oh my gosh. So exciting, Cindy.
Yeah.
We are running out of time, so we're going to wrap up a little bit, but I cannot wait to see your new projects. I can't wait to see that music video. It was really fun to be part of that.
Yeah.
Watch you in action directing. I was kind of amazing. I just can't cannot wait. So please see The Punk Singer at Hollywood Theater. It's running all the way through Sunday the 15th. And check online to see different show times. You're listening to Out Loud Radio on KBOO.
KBOO Portland
90.7.
Thanks again, Cindy, for coming on the show and talking about the film The Punk Singer.
Thank you so much, Cindy.
It was great having you on. And thank you again to our other guests, Thomas, Wild Planet Radio, for coming in and telling us about the new Portland radio station, LGBTQ entirety. So and thank you, listeners, for once again tuning in to Out Loud. You know, it's community radio. It's community listeners make this possible. Thanks again, Dexter. And as always, thank you, Liam, to help make this show possible with engineering.
Thank you, Liam. And thank you, Natalie. Yeah. And thank you so much, Carla, who is amazing and also will be on next Tuesday.
Yeah. And thank you to Heather. Enjoy the show. Until next time, folks, remember to live free, live proud, and always live your life out loud.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the 19th year of the Portland Revels. The Portland Revels will perform 11 shows between December 6th and December 15th. That's the Portland Revels, December 6th to the 15th at the Scottish Rite Center in downtown Portland. More information about the show can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO is seeking a station manager to lead our dynamic 45-year-old non-commercial radio station. Ideal candidates will have nonprofit management experience, the ability to thrive and work collaboratively in a decentralized organization, and the ability to delegate, plan, and organize people to meet goals and objectives. If this interests you, please go to kboo.fm/stationmanagerhire2013.
The time is 7:02. You are listening to KBOO Portland. Hard Knock Radio is next.
One, two, three, four.